Robin McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer. Life is thickly sown with thorns, and I know no other remedy than to pass quickly through them. The longer we dwell on our misfortunes, the greater is their power to harm us. Voltaire. Today on Shake Them Ropes, all of my opinions you will later hear on more popular podcasts. Clash of Champions, a Raw that did nothing but waste time. SmackDown highlighting Miz and Dolph Ziggler. Hey, it played in Cleveland. A nothing if not interesting talking smack to follow. And our top 100 match to see before you die from 1989 Chi-Town Rumble, Ric Flair versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat in a absolutely fantastic. What?
Today's match is the Wrestle War 1989 match, sir.
Fuck, I watched the wrong match.
Which is actually okay, as we'll get to it, because I didn't so much want to talk about this match specifically this week since the Chi-Town Rumble match was happening at number 11 just in a, 2 months from now.
God damn it.
It's all right. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I knew, first of all, you texted me, and hello, welcome to Shake Them Ropes, everybody. Episode 176, Rob McCarron, Jeff Hawkins is the voice you just heard.
Show like that.
You texted me. Last week, I believe. It was right after we recorded episode 175. You texted me, hey, interesting thing to watch before the Chi-Town Rumble. I should have known just then. I should have known that you had the matches mixed up. And maybe we said the wrong match on last week's show. I don't remember us doing that. I don't know
we did, because you know why you got that text was because you plugged it. Uh-huh. You plugged the match. And I said, I need to unwind. I'm going to watch the match now. So I go and I watch Chi-Town Rumble.
I don't know if that's accurate.
I think it is.
I don't know if that's accurate.
All right. Let's get to the bigger issues here.
We have so many bigger issues. First of all, also to take issue with something you said in the entrance, what the hell podcast is more popular than us?
All the ones that are listed on Rolling Stone and ones that David Shoemaker leaves before going to Bill Simmons's thing.
I want to tell all of you, the listeners out there who are listening to this Shake Them Ropes podcast, especially the ones who are with us before we had a name and the ones who are with us before we were at Voices of Wrestling. Yes, we started out super small. We had like 15 downloads for like the first 5 episodes. Super small. Now we're much, much higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
I thank all of you who have listened when we were small, who have listened as we've grown to a little bit bigger. Yeah, we're not the biggest podcast out there. No one's saying we are, duh. But Jeff Hawkins, you had a quote on Twitter that was then stolen by this little ESPN podcast called Cheap Heat.
It was not attributed to me until later. Okay, the Cheap Heat one eventually got around to it, and then they called me a mark, which pissed me off. I'm like, oh, there's a backhanded compliment. Thanks a lot. Our own sister podcast, the flagship, Joe Lanza, quoted me, and with the attribution of the same as 2 other podcasts. I can't remember who said it. Ryan Satin also did not attribute because he couldn't remember. This is all fine. You will hear the hot takes you will hear on other podcasts here from your boy here.
Yeah. It's also fine because it's not as if that quote was really something special.
No, it was great. I got a lot of play on that quote. Let me put you that. No, it was great and insightful. And that's rare for me because usually I'm just stupid and funny. So, oh God, that's going to be a drop. Okay. Anyway, we're going to hit Clash of Champions real quick here. Here's my insightful comment about that, and I'll get your opinion on it. Clash of Champions, as we did in the preview, I said there's going to be a lot of schmoz finishes. We'll probably get Stephanie and Hunter together, so I nailed those. But in looking back on it, all this was to highlight the clean win and title change of Roman Reigns for the U.S. title, right?
Sure.
I mean, that was the whole point of how they booked this thing in terms of everything else was just a wonky finish and continues on as a feud, kind of.
I don't know why they just didn't do it on the last pay-per-view unless they needed something, because, yeah, here we were headed into Raw's first brand split pay-per-view and they could go longer. There's been a couple of instances, the Dolph Ziggler and the Miz stuff maybe even being one of them, where they seemingly held off stuff at Battleground and, you know, the pay-per-views leading up to the brand split so that they could have things for the brand split pay-per-views, knowing that they had only half the roster to work with. And yeah, the Roman Reigns and Rusev thing might have been one of them. I like the match. I like I actually like the follow up on Raw, even though, yeah, it was a double count out. But hey, you got 30 minutes of really good wrestling between really two really good guys. And also, the fans watching on YouTube seem to like it too, because that Rusev Roman Reigns clip, the 3 minute clip of their US title rematch on Raw, is the most viewed clip from Raw and SmackDown this week at over a million views.
Yeah, big deal. It's a 3 minute clip. It should be popular as opposed to watching 30 minutes for a double count out.
Right. But all these clips are short. Yeah. They're all short. It's that they're competing also with, you know, everything that Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt did, everything that the Cruiserweights did, everything, even with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. I mean, Roman Reigns is a draw, right?
Oh, really? He is?
Listen, Roman Reigns is a draw. He's drawing millions of literally millions of viewers to the WWE YouTube page.
Well, the wrestling on Clash of Champions was great. It's just, I didn't understand the logic of some of the moves they made in terms of the endings. I mean, we said Anderson Gallows needed the tag titles. That's not going to happen. It appears they're going to move on as well. So what happens to them? I mean, Charlotte and, you know, Sasha, that's, you know, are going to move on. We kind of expected that, maybe, you know, until we get to Dana, I guess. You know, everything kind of stayed status quo except that. So, I mean, it was fine wrestling, but if you like just wrestling, which you do, for our top 100, you just go directly to the matches. You don't watch angles or anything. So it's kind of catered to that audience, I guess.
Yes, you go to the angles and the matches, and I go to the correct matches.
Well, you look.
This is not I'm not trying to harp on you, because I really, it's fine that you watch the wrong one.
I am literally angry because I'm usually, show prep is something I like to have. And also the
show
fact
prep
that I'm
is
blaming,
what you do.
That I'm blaming you.
Oh, well, it's not my fault.
For steering me wrong.
I asked it on the Twitter poll at Shake Them Ropes. Did Rob announce
Twitter poll?
Did Rob announce the wrong Flair versus Steamboat for this week's top 100 match last week on STR 175? Yes.
Have they gone back and listened to the show to see if you did, or are they just going on what they think?
I just assume everyone remembers.
All right, let's just get off of me for a while and talk about whatever you want to talk about here.
Also up on the poll at Shake Them Ropes, Sister Hazel's All For You, great song or greatest song? 77% say great song. You can follow those polls at Shake Them Ropes. John Cena's back, Jeff. Yeah. John Cena is back with a vengeance. Still no reason for him to get this title shot. He lost to Dean Ambrose clean and he lost to AJ Styles clean, but John Cena nevertheless in the main event of No Mercy. But other than that, they're putting him in the main event. You got this three-way match. You had the ending to SmackDown where AJ Styles beats Dean Ambrose in a singles match for the world title. And John Cena comes out looking strong, AAing everybody, and then goes on talking smack. Did you see this talking smack, Jeff?
I did.
John Cena is the greatest of all time.
Okay. I'm going to temper that a little. I liked the promo as it was. Don't get me wrong. I think, and Talking Smack is the best show on there. It's a live promo class, so to speak, because Becky Lynch was fantastic on there too, I thought. There's something that bothered me about the promo, looking back on it, and I want to play this off of you. I like the builds for the fights. I like the peek into realness that Talking Smack does from time to time. But the goal of John Cena to be champion here isn't necessarily, you know, it's the Ric Flair record on one hand. But the feud is not built about him being the champ and about him getting the money and the prestige and whatnot. A lot of this feud is built on what the company thinks about him and all he can do for the company. And this is something that tears down Raw, because on Raw, all the WWE politics, so to speak, on screen, WWE is the heel. It's the bad guy. Whereas when John Cena talks about him, they're the good guy. And I just think this kind of, it disconnects me a lot from these feuds when you're fighting over the love of the corporate executives rather than for the quote unquote title, so to speak. And that's partly what bugged me about this promo. I thought it was a great promo, but there was that underlying WWE speak, so to speak, where, I mean, your main event feuds in your women's division and on Raw are both about corporate crap. You know, for Owens and Rollins, it's they want the love of Stephanie and Hunter. And for the women's division, it's about being the face of the division, you know, which is, you know, not the title necessarily, you know, and being rich and getting money and, you know, all the things that come with it. Yeah, you get that being, you know, loved by the corporate executives, but there's that extra step there in getting their approval. That's what got me out of there. And do I have a valid point here or no?
I mean, maybe a little bit, but John Cena wants to win the title to hold the record.
Yes, I get that. And that part when he was on that was great, but he was going into, you know.
Also keep in mind that no one watches Talking Smack. As popular as it is, as well-liked as it is, no one watches it. So
yeah, they may on the YouTube when they go.
Maybe. Yeah. And they might see the small little clip, the 2-minute clip of John Cena. But as far as watching the whole show and watching the entire stuff that John Cena is doing, I bet a good portion of our listeners watch that because we're, you know, our podcast is marketed to those who follow WWE more than just watching it 3 hours a week.
Yeah, but all those cheap heat people don't.
That may be true. That may be true. I think, John Cena on the SmackDown show, and I'm not even just talking smack. Yeah, John Cena was great on Talking Smack, you know, cutting Dean Ambrose down, saying the same things that Steve Austin did about Dean Ambrose. And honestly, a lot of the stuff is true. You watch it and you're like, you can't not see it anymore. You're seeing Dean Ambrose hold himself back a little bit and maybe be a little too goofy in certain ways and not really drive the championship home.
Oh, but his promo last week did a lot for him, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's helping. He's getting better. I mean, especially when he's, you know, putting his hand in John Cena's face and he's going toe-to-toe. I like, this has motivated Dean Ambrose. I think it helped to get Dean Ambrose away from Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns to feud with someone else who might push him up a little bit more. Because look at, you know, Seth Rollins seems pretty confident. Seth Rollins seems like a guy like a Triple H, a young Triple H, who's going to be the top guy someday and he believes he should be. Whereas Roman Reigns is afraid of his own shadow. He's afraid of making the wrong mistake. He's afraid of not following word for word and line from line in the script. He wants to make sure that he does what he's supposed to do and does not have instinct to do anything different, even if that anything different may be better. John Cena ain't afraid of shit. And Dean Ambrose is going to start getting that rubbing off on him, and Dean Ambrose is going to be all the better for it.
Okay.
I'm really looking forward to this triple threat. I mean, John Cena is getting kind of the Derek Jeter in the All-Star game on his way out type of move here. He's getting the world title shot from the GMs when he really doesn't deserve it whatsoever. Do you think John Cena, and we're still a week away and we'll preview, I mean, think about this, Jeff. We're a week and a half away from another WWE pay-per-view already. We got No Mercy preview next week on this show. Already, we just talked about Clash of Champions. We just previewed Backlash. I mean, it feels like 3 weeks ago, I think it was, we previewed Backlash of all things. And here we are next week. We're going to be talking about No Mercy. And then 2 weeks after that, we're going to be talking about Hell in a Cell. And then 2 weeks after that, we're going to be talking about Survivor Series and NXT. And then 2 weeks after that, we're going to be talking about how Raw is heading into the holidays with I don't even know what. Triple H, maybe? There's a question for you. Does Triple H appear on WWE Raw before December, Jeff? Yes or no?
Yes.
You think he's coming soon, or you think he comes maybe the Raw after Survivor Series?
Oh, I think he's coming sooner than later.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Low ratings, get past this election cycle, perhaps.
Well, that's okay, but then you get into mid-November. So that's still a month and a half away, but isn't the low ratings aspect a reason why some who believe they're on the inside think that Triple H won't appear on Raw because he doesn't want to be a guy on a low rated show And when he does appear, he wants to make himself the reason why ratings were better. So maybe you wait until football season is at the end or even over.
Okay, that's a valid point. I don't know why they showed him on the quote unquote net, not on the network, but on the web page after this Clash of Champions. That just made, it made no sense to me in many ways, unless they're going to keep him off, I guess. I mean, so you've kind of talked me into it. Speaking of conspiracy theories, this is something I put out there earlier today when I was in the other neighborhood. I want to put this by you. Is it possible that one of the reasons, just one, it doesn't have to be the main reason, that we don't see a lot of Shane and Daniel Bryan on SmackDown is because of their intense popularity with the people, and they want the focus to be on the management figures on Raw?
I think they just want a little bit something different with the show. I think part of it is the fact that Shane's not always there. Part of it is, you know, Daniel Bryan, yes, he's there, but they have that Talking Smack show, so you get to see plenty of him afterwards. He's kind of like a panelist at this point, more than an on-TV character. And you want to have a differentiator. I mean, Raw and SmackDown are going to be different, and that's one way you can make it seem more different when you have Mick Foley and Stephanie all over one show and then the GMs aren't all over the other show. As you tweeted out, and it got retweeted by Cheap Heat in live real time, you have the wrestling show on Tuesdays. You have AJ Styles highlighting the wrestling show, even though there's plenty of good wrestling on Raw, as experienced by the Cruiserweight division, as experienced by Sheamus and Cesaro, as experienced by Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. There's a lot of wrestling on the Raw show, but SmackDown still feels like the wrestling show.
Yeah, and Raw feels like the show about wrestling.
Yes. Way to get your hot take in there one more time.
Getting my shit in.
You got to get your shit in. You got to do it. It's very interesting how they're doing that. I don't know if that's going to be a regular thing. I mean, maybe we'll start seeing more Shane when he's on, you know, at Tuesday's show. Maybe he'll be on it all over the place. I don't know. But you're right. We're not seeing that as much. What we also are seeing on the show is this week's sponsor is Dollar Shave Club. Jeff Dollar Shave Club is with us for another week. We are happy to have him. Guys, you don't need to choose between price and quality to get an amazing and affordable shave. DollarShaveClub.com is the answer. And to prove how amazing their shave really is, right now they are going to give you your first month free. Join the club with your first month free at DollarShaveClub.com/ropes. DollarShaveClub.com/ropes. You can get a first class shave when you use the Executive Blade. And when you use it with Dr. Carver's shave butter, which is Jeff's favorite, is it not?
Continue. I got something to say.
He's still mad that I didn't give him the free Dr. Carver shave butter. Hold on.
When you go and you tweet Dollar Shave Club and you tell them how much you love them and how much it means to them that you are sponsoring this podcast, you tell them to send @CrapGame13 a gallon of Dr. Carver shave butter, please, because Rob is stingy.
Yeah, I'm stingy, but I love it. I've used almost half the bottle already because I just love it so much. Oh, I do. I really do.
Just keep going.
Dr. Carver shave butter is the bee's knees. Jeff, you can get your first month free by going to dollarshaveclub.com/ropes, and you can join in with over 3 million members like me, like Rich Kraich of the Voices of Wrestling podcast, who love Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club is so confident in the quality of all their products. You can get your first month free at the club, dollarshaveclub.com/ropes. You just pay shipping, and after that, it's just a few bucks a month. There is no long-term commitment, but they are confident you are going to love it, and there's no hidden fees to join up, guys, so there's no reason not to do it. Get your free month right now at dollarshaveclub.com/ropes. That's dollarshaveclub.com/ropes. And with that out of the way, it is time to talk about the most important thing that actually happened on SmackDown. Jeff, face the facts.
Oh, no. I am a hot mess right now.
Well, you could relieve that hot mess by shaving with Dr. Carver shave butter. Jeff, Curt Hawkins is coming. Curt Hawkins is coming, and it seems like next week he's going to make a big Curt Hawkins announcement.
I hope he is killed dead on his one appearance on SmackDown. Okay, what's the joke you want to tell here so we can get on to important
stuff?
I don't have a joke.
It's obviously not the most important thing on SmackDown by any means, but I did want to get into it because Curt Hawkins is running through these segments, and it finally dawned on me that they weren't trying to make a Curt Hawkins character here. They realize Curt Hawkins is a loser. They realize he's a dork.
It's an extended bit.
It's a huge bit, and I hope that Curt Hawkins is in on it because, yes, and I'm actually, now I am interested to see where this goes with Curt Hawkins. I don't think he's going to be a big character by any means. Hopefully he turns out better than Jinder Mahal, because that one's just a disaster on the Raw side. But, you know, Curt Hawkins is coming back and he's going to be a joke, and it's starting to get a little funny. I mean, he's going out there doing these Face the Facts campaigns. He's telling all this stupid stuff, and it's so campy, and it's so obviously some kind of rib either on him or on someone who says Face the Facts backstage, but it is getting to be a little funny here.
It's an addendum to the law of three in comedy, where they always say, you know, you do things in three and that third one should be your funniest. But there's also something called the law of three and 37, where if you say something so many times, like 37, even no matter how stupid it is, if you just keep repeating the same joke over and over and over again, it eventually wears down people to the point where it just becomes hilarious. This is what that is.
It's wearing me down. It's wearing me down. Yeah. It's becoming hilarious because you have next week this big announcement. No, when he was going through this this little bit, I thought, of course, next week was going to be the debut, but it's probably not going to be. It's going to be a big Curt Hawkins announcement, at which point he may announce that he's going to make an announcement at his debut the next time, and then we finally get the debut after that. I see at least three or four big Curt Hawkins announcements before we actually see him wrestle, and maybe we don't even see him wrestle to the Royal Rumble. Jeff, could this go all the way until late January?
This is the Eva Marie bit all over again.
It is, because we don't have Eva Marie to do it, so now we have to have Curt Hawkins doing it.
Ever again. I don't think she's coming back.
You don't think she's coming back one bit?
Look, she's dyed her hair. She's moved on to marketing her other outside gimmicks. I don't think she's coming back.
Think she's done with WWE for good?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
In terms of wrestling, she may be sent out there as like a spokesperson representative, but yeah, you're not going to see her on camera, I don't think.
Jeff, then what are we going to do next week or maybe in the future? We should probably plan this a little bit more. The Shake Them Ropes Eva Marie Memorial episode, celebrating her long and luxurious career. Because, I mean, let's face it, she was in WWE for about 4 years, right? Maybe even more. Is 4 years too low? Was she in WWE for longer than that?
Maybe longer because of the Divas search, whatever year that was.
That's right. I'm going to figure this out because 4 years seems both too long and too short at the same time.
Get the rights to Boys to Men's. It's so hard to say goodbye to Yesterday. Yeah, we'll play that. It'll be great.
She signed her contract. She signed her contract in 2013. So 3 years.
Flavor God to sponsor it. It'll be great.
Natalie Eva Marie Coyle. Apparently she's married. She's now married.
Yes.
The thing that was on Total Divas that I didn't watch.
She is married to the proprietor of Flavor God Seasoning. So yes.
Is that what she has dyed her hair and started to promote now?
No, she's promoting. She has like a little boutique fashion thing here in Southern California that she's starting to promote in addition to some philanthropic endeavors, but I think it's like NEM fashion or something to that effect.
Okay. Well, hey, good for her. I mean, if she doesn't want to wrestle anymore and they don't want her in WWE, I mean, and she has other projects, obviously, good for her. I'm a little bit surprised that if she does leave WWE and JoJo is still around, just considering that year after the Diva search where JoJo just wasn't anywhere to be seen, I'm surprised JoJo was the one that outlasted Eva Marie, really.
Yeah, but their roles were different.
Oh, so. I know that. And look at JoJo now. She is WWE's number one announcer. She's the number one ring announcer in WWE after the most turmoiled year in WWE announcing. You have Justin Roberts leave, I think, about 2 years ago.
He was forced out.
He was canned. Yeah. You don't have Tony Schimmel doing the ring announcements. Greg Hamilton has moved from being the NXT host up to the main roster. You have a lot of turmoil. And now JoJo is WWE's number one ring announcer. That is surprising to me just how quickly that happened.
Yes.
And she's getting better. She's not bad by any means. She's getting better. You'd have Brandi Rhodes leaving, of course. So there was a lot of turmoil going on with the WWE announce crew. But before we talk about the true best thing on SmackDown.
Okay.
The Royal Rumble in 2017. Doesn't look like it's happening in Los Angeles, although maybe it still could be.
Might be announced Monday.
Could be. Yeah. You have Raw in Los Angeles, TJ Perkins home. We found out this week it probably wasn't going to be Chicago. I was holding out hope it might be in Chicago, but Chicago got a Raw and SmackDown of Christmas week. Raw and SmackDown of Christmas week. Big shows in Chicago. Yeah, and
enjoy the cold, guys.
Yeah, they are usually in the Detroit and Chicago area on Christmas, as well as the split crew in New York and New England. So they're always in cold weather on Christmas. They always are. Christmas Day is going to be a Sunday, and Christmas, the night after is that Monday. So I think they're in Chicago the 26th and 27th, both nights, Raw and SmackDown in Chicago. So unlikely that just a month later they would also be at the Royal Rumble. Are you still holding out hope that it could be at Los Angeles? And if it is in Los Angeles, Jeff, do you plan on attending?
I might. Yeah, I'd love to go see the Rumble. I've never seen a Rumble live.
I've never seen a Rumble live, and that would be, if I could go to one wrestling event at all, the Royal Rumble is the one I would want to go to. Even more so than WrestleMania, I think.
Yes, I agree. I think they're better shows. I think it's more fun. It's more of a fun, surprise-filled type of thing now.
Miz and Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, yes.
This was the best thing on SmackDown. This is the best thing, if you know, new segment here, the best of the week. Miz, Dolph Ziggler. This is the first inaugural best of the week on Shake Them Ropes, because this Miz and this Dolph Ziggler, both of them were absolutely fantastic on SmackDown. You had essentially Dolph Ziggler comes out wanting another championship shot, wanting another title shot, another championship opportunity, to use WWE vernacular. He wants another Intercontinental title shot. He's failed twice. Immediately following his failure at the world title against Dean Ambrose, this guy's a failure lately, and he realizes it, but he wants another shot. He needs to prove it not only to himself, but to the people. So Dolph Ziggler comes out and challenges Miz one more time for the title. But knowing that Miz just won't say yes, and knowing that he really doesn't deserve another shot, he decides, you know what? I'm putting up my career. I'm not putting up my SmackDown contract. I'm not putting up my WWE. I'm putting up my career, my entire career, up against you, Miz, to get another Intercontinental Championship shot. Because not only is the title important, but winning is important. And showing the fans that I can still win big matches is important. I thought Dolph Ziggler was absolutely phenomenal here in not looking like he was reading off a script, but showing vulnerability, showing the fact that he knew what he was saying, and he knew that there was a little bit of himself that doesn't know if he's 100% confident in winning this championship. He knows very well he could be losing his career, but that's how desperate he was for this title shot. What did you think about Dolph Ziggler here?
It's his best acting job.
It was by far his best acting job.
For me, it was he actually felt what he was saying, and it matched his tone. When he gets angry, he likes to yell a lot, and his anger doesn't really come through more than the volume. Here, his voice was cracking a bit, and I kind of posit that we know that wrestlers in various companies watch the stuff that gets good press or good tweets or gets, you know, some sort of buzz around it. I think it wasn't a direct copy, but it was at least a bit of an homage to the tone of the Christopher Daniels ROH All-Star Weekend promo quite a bit. But, you know, as a promo itself, he was phenomenal. And oddly enough, as phenomenal as he was, second best guy amongst the two of them, because I thought Miz was perfect. Mrs.? I thought everything about this was perfect. Yeah.
As soon, because Miz is dismissing Dolph Ziggler, of course, until Dolph drops the line about how he'll put up his career, and Miz stops mid-strut away from the ring and does a real life reaction of what you would do if you heard someone do that. Like,
does kind of like that little, you know, he puts his head down with the eyes looking up. Are you sure?
It's like,
did I hear what you, I think you said?
So evil. Because he's, oh, yeah. Are you, oh, I finally got you where I want you. And then he's walking towards the ring and he kind of picks up the pace as he gets closer to the ring because he wants to make sure that Dolph can't walk out of this. Yeah. As great as Dolph Ziggler was, and that's kind of why it's why I went on that first. As great as Dolph Ziggler was, and this was his best acting job, because a lot of times he's really bad at it. Let's face it. He's bad at acting. Whereas Miz is really good sometimes. But this may have also been some of Miz's best work. His strut back to the ring.
Yes.
His getting in Dolph Ziggler's face. His realizing that he just made Dolph Ziggler put up his career, so obviously he's in the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely fantastic. And this was the best thing on WWE TV all week, including Clash of Champions.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, it blew everything away this week. And plus, everything about this came together, from Miz's look, his outfit, Maryse being in front of him so that to protect him, so to speak, kind of the old Jimmy Garvin Precious move, or Baby Doll and Tully Blanchard, which I dig. The video package that they played was perfect, and perfect timing. Everything about this made Miz look like a million-dollar main event star, in my opinion. And it's weird that they're doing this for both the secondary belts on both titles, because on this show, it's getting across so great, even though we were initially skeptical of it. But I think we'll probably pontificate on what we think's going to happen here. But as far as what this did this week, this was so good. I have fears they may take Miz over to Raw. That's how good it was.
We keep thinking that this whole Miz transition, but if they were going to move Miz to Raw, they wouldn't have done that weird Twitter angle last week about the Miz contract situation where he all of a sudden just signs, unless, Jeff, it's a sign and trade.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into that. I was just thinking the star power was enough where Vince was going to say, well, we need that on the flagship show type of thing.
If Daniel Bryan can get the coup of trading the Miz to Raw for the entire cruiserweight division.
Yes.
Yeah. Although wouldn't that kind of devalue the cruiserweight division? Like literally six guys are worth one Miz.
Let's stay on this cruiserweight division real quick.
Sure.
Week two. And they're the way that they are marketing these guys is horrible. It's all the same. You know, it's like, you remember the scene in Pulp Fiction where Winston Wolfe has the notepad and he's taking notes on Jules and Vincent and what they are? That's what they have for these.
I've never seen Pulp Fiction.
You're kidding.
No, is that a problem?
It's just one of the greatest movies of the 90s, that's all.
And people say it, and I like Quentin Tarantino. I just have never, I don't know. I just
anyways, look, we know Rich Swann likes to dance, likes to have fun.
Yep.
Cedric Alexander lost weight. Brian Kendrick, old guy. TJ Perkins, homeless, happy to be here. It's hitting these same notes week after week. Who else was in it? Lince Dorado, luchador. You know, kind of
from New Hampshire.
From New Hampshire. Drew Gulak, tough guy. You know, they just keep hitting these same, even though these two weren't on the thing. I was thinking more Cedric and Rich Swann, which also just the dancing thing and the having fun. It's such a slightly racially insensitive to me, especially the way that they're very similar to how the New Day started out being portrayed in many ways. I get bothered by that, and it's not really progressing anything. And that TJ Perkins promo where it's like, I'm just really happy to be here. Okay, we got that last week. You know, they do this to put themselves over as a company, that everybody wants to work here and everybody, this is the goal of everybody. And it's like, yeah, we keep hearing that from Bailey week after week. We keep hearing that from TJ Perkins week after week. Let's get some real character development in here, guys. Instead of just buzzwords that we should remember to remember them, even though it's part of the conditioning, and I harp on their conditioning a lot. Now, they did some good video packages here to temper my criticism. Let's put it that way. I mean, they finally, you know, they introduced who Tony Nese and Drew Gulak were in many ways better than they did the other four.
I must also say that the way you say Drew Gulak sounds like the most derogatory term, and I don't even know who it would be derogatory against. Gulak.
I wasn't Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I guess
no, it's fine. I mean, you're saying his name. I'm making a comment about how his name just sounds like it should be offensive to somebody. Like you're calling someone a gulak.
It's like my Tommaso Ciampa.
And that's the right way to say his name, Tommaso Ciampa. Rhymes with Tampa. No, it's Ciampa. It's Ciampa.
Okay. Well, anyways, that's my piece on it. I yield the floor to you, Senator.
You yield the floor to me, and what do I do with it?
Say something about the cruiserweights. Expound on my opinion.
I like the TJ Perkins Brian Kendrick match. It was really good. I may not be the biggest fan of TJ Perkins ever, but he's done really well so far. And I thought his run in the Cruiserweight Classic was fantastic, as we've addressed on this very show. I'm interested to see what happens. And, you know, here it is, like the fourth thing in WWE I'm, quote, interested to see. But I want to know what happens after Brian Kendrick is done with TJ Perkins. I want to see what's next for TJ Perkins, because every guy in the Cruiserweight division is pretty much a babyface. Brian Kendrick's the only heel in the division. And I know he had Drew Gulak in there and Lince Dorado, and Drew Gulak kind of can play a little heelish, but he's not signed to WWE. He came in for the one shot. He may be back again. We'll see. But he's not a WWE guy. He's not getting a Cruiserweight Championship run. He's not getting a Cruiserweight Championship buildup to a title match at a pay-per-view. Who is next after Brian Kendrick, unless Brian Kendrick does end up winning the Cruiserweight title? I want to know who's next. And that's why I'll keep watching, because I do want to see what they do with this Cruiserweight division. I don't think anything has been awful yet. I know the crowd's not reacting very well to duplicate Cruiserweight matches, and we've talked about that on this show, how that might be trouble. How are they going to have one Cruiserweight match on a show, or are they going to try to spread the Cruiserweight division out throughout the show? And with everyone being a no-name for the casual fans right now, how will that turn out? And so far after week two, it hasn't turned out really well, because people are not caring about the Cruiserweight champion, they're not caring about the top contenders, and they're not caring about really good Cruiserweight tag team matches. So they have some building to do.
Oh yeah, the CM Punk chant during Clash of Champions just broke my heart. It really did.
Because that's just the epitome. It's the epitome of the crowd just not caring and wanting to do something else to enjoy their time.
Yeah. What do you think of TJ's entrance?
I think the entrance is super cool. That entrance is awesome. The music sounds fun. It's like it's like puro, like Japanese wrestling style, where it's just goofy and fun.
Yeah, I like the video game motif. I'd get rid of the big HP in terms of the hit points or whatnot. That's kind of goofy, but I like the selection screen, and just the digitized version of him on the ramp is really cool when he's walking down. I think that's sweet. Yeah, no, I like it a lot.
I'm not a big gamer. I know that I'm an old man. I'm not a big gamer.
You're old.
I'm super old. I'm the oldest one on the show, right?
Continue.
The answer is no, folks. I am not. If you're going to do the HP, and maybe this is nitpicking, and maybe this means nothing. Yes, have a power bar, or have hit points 100 or something. Why? It's just HP and then blank. Like, he's out of hit points. He has none. He hasn't collected any. He's dead. He's dead before he even enters the ring.
So if he's selling a post-match beatdown or something, it's like on red as he walks out the next week.
I want to see like the full body motif, the full body outline somewhere on the TitanTron that has like red at the elbow or something, if he's selling an elbow injury. Like, I want to see where he's damaged, where his body parts are damaged at the moment.
They'll screw it up, because then they'll like eat power pills during the match to, you know, get a special.
Oh, no.
I don't want that.
Jeff, power pills are against the wellness policy. What the hell's going on with TNA?
Might be for sale, might not. I mean,
literally, that, Jeff, you basically encapsulated the entire thing right there in that one little sentence.
I am sometimes pithy.
They might be for sale. They might not be. They may have already been sold. They may not have already been sold. Billy Corgan may be the owner of TNA next week. He may not be the owner of TNA next week. Alliance MMA may be the owner of TNA next week. Maybe they won't be. Maybe WWE will be. There's a whole lot of stuff going on that we think is going on, but there might not also be that a whole lot of stuff going on. We'll see. We'll see. But all we know is TNA's got one of their biggest pay-per-views. And the reason why I bring this up on this WWE show is not only does it make WWE directly related if WWE does end up somehow purchasing the remnants of TNA, but Cody Rhodes is debuting on Sunday for TNA.
Is Brandy as well?
I believe she would probably be there. I mean, they've talked about signing her. They tweeted out that they signed Brandy Rhodes, and they're, you know, the Rhodes are, you know, putting up all those videos on their Twitter accounts about how Brandy is training to wrestle and how she's coming for the Knockouts Championship. She's coming to wrestle and win. So yeah, we could probably see Brandy Rhodes on Sunday, and we could probably see Cody R on Sunday because, hilariously enough, Brandy Rhodes, of course, was Eden Styles in WWE. WWE did not trademark the Brandy Rhodes name. They still own the trademark for the Cody Rhodes name. Cody Rhodes cannot be Cody Rhodes in TNA. He can be Cody. Right. He can be Cody R. He can be Cody whatever the hell. He can be Cody Runnels, but he cannot be Cody Rhodes. So it is possible that we see Cody Runnels or Cody R or just Cody.
No. Do you know how they've done it? How they're marketing it?
So far, they've
Cody
basically
and
just,
Brandy Rhodes.
Yeah. That's
clever.
But you can't always do that. That works for like a week when they debut together. But when Cody is in a, I mean, you're not going to be announcing Cody in a match as Cody and Brandy Rhodes is going for a moonsault.
No, but you could just say Cody throughout the match. You don't need to go any further than that. No, I went to Bound for Glory in, what was it, 2011, 2012, one of those two. It was a blast when I was here in San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. I'm second row hard camera if you want to rewatch and look for me standing up and applauding a lot.
I so want to put that on a poll so badly. You want to rewatch Bound for Glory 2011 to go see Jeff, yes or no? But I won't. I'll hold off. You know I love my polls, but I know where to draw a line, Jeff. That's the one thing I'm really good at, is knowing when to draw a line. Would you not agree?
Yeah, when the polls are about me, you don't want to do them. When they're about you,
draw the line. Yes. I draw the line. Yeah, so a lot of craziness going on in TNA. Hopefully they have their show. I mean, Cody Rhodes, is a thing. He may help them. He may not. I don't see him helping. I mean, Cody Rhodes is not a needle mover to me. And that's nothing against him, because I like Cody Rhodes in WWE. I like the stuff he did with Legacy. He's fine. He's not a main eventer, and that shouldn't be taken as a shot against Cody Rhodes. I know Cody Rhodes personally takes things and thinks that, you know, folks are taking shots at him by saying he's not a main eventer because he believes he is. But not everyone can be a main eventer, and not everyone is made to be. Not everyone's made to be the most popular guy. You know, Jeff knows how that is.
I do. Most popular guy on this show.
That may be so. Unfortunately, we don't have polling data for that to fully tell us if that is the case or not. Should I give an update on the eating of the hat?
Sure, if you have one.
Kinda. The hat eating is going to come sometime in October. We're doing some things with it. Jeff and I have to work on some things. I still got to get with him a little bit about some ideas we have on how to best do this.
You have ideas. This is an update to me too, obviously.
Well, no, I haven't gotten with you yet. I've been thinking. So I've been going through a move and different things in the real life. That have, you know, we've done these shows. You've noticed that we haven't done all these post pay-per-view shows that we were regularly doing just because there's too many damn pay-per-views, although I'll watch them all. There's too much going on. There's a lot of stuff going on, so I apologize for not having the post pay-per-view shows lately. But we will get back into the swing of things and a super regular schedule here as we head into the end parts of this year and so forth into 2017.
Hold on, you may not be so regular after eating this hat.
Well, that part is true. That was a good one. Yes. That was classic. I hope Cheap Heat steals that joke. I hope they do, for your benefit and for their listeners' benefit. I hope they steal that joke. But I want to thank everyone for their patience. You know, we've been getting out. We've stuck to our schedule. We have released a Shake Them Ropes every week. I thought that was going to be near impossible through September. Honestly, there were weeks where I didn't think we were going to do it. I want to thank Rich Krejci for kind of filling in for the 1 week at the post Cruiserweight Classic show. But yeah, we have kept to the schedule all for you guys, because if it was just up to me, we may have taken a week off there. But I I did not want to. I did not want to for the listeners who enjoy our show. So thank you for keeping us going. But yes, we will, I'm not hiding. I'm not running away from it. It's not something that we're completely ignoring. The old CM Punk bet with the hat eating. We're going to do something with it. Just give us time and please, we ask for your patience with that. Is that sufficient enough, Jeff, you think?
Is that an update?
Be kinda. Patient. Be patient. Okay. It's going to happen. Well, because I was getting a lot of comments like, listen, and on this note, congrats to a former guest of the show and friend of the show, Sean Ross Sapp, verified on the old Twitter
verified.
Machine.
Verified. Give me a break.
Good for him, you know. Give it, yeah, good for him. But he hosts the show with you on Tuesday nights after SmackDown on the old Fightful.com website. Mm-hmm. And you two do pretty well with that. But he, he was doing a show today with you. Mm-hmm. And there were some people in the old chat room and people leaving comments on your episode talking about, when's Rob going to eat the hat? Where's Rob gone? Now, I haven't gone anywhere. Shake Them Ropes has always been my podcasting focus. And it remains to be. And the hat eating will commence. We will do something with this. I am not hiding. I'm not running away. It's going to happen at some point. So I wanted to give the update that, yeah, we have not forgotten about it. We're just waiting to do the best that we can do with it, whatever shape it takes, whatever, however we distribute it, whether it's, because it's got to be video. No, you know, I could be here on the podcast all day long saying I'm eating a hat. And no one knows any better.
Shake Them Ropes Theater presents Rob eating a hat. Yup, yup, yup.
Yeah, so let me put together some ways of videotaping this and some different ways of releasing it, and it will be out there for you, and hopefully you enjoy it, and hopefully I don't die. It's my biggest hope.
Rich did a great job hosting.
That's the worst thing that I could ever have done is show Jeff that he can do this show with other people. It's the worst that I could have ever done.
Much like you did to me WrestleMania weekend. So
you were busy, man. Listen, you were at WrestleMania this week or this year, and you had a lot going on. Am I wrong? Like, you had a ton going on. There was
I had missing buses.
Right. I mean, coordinating an hour every day that you're there. And when the show would be an hour, you got to have a half an hour before, a half an hour after just to compose yourself. And it takes you out of a rhythm. Like, you were better off not having to do shows that week.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying you had a similar situation.
That is true. I did have a similar situation. We made our way through it. On the cruiserweight note, before we move on, we'll do our top 100 match, and then we got a couple of questions at the end of the show.
Am I going to watch this match?
I mean, we're going to kind of do it. We're going to kind of do it. We're going to take a different track on it, if you will.
Okay.
On the cruiserweights, before we completely stop talking about those, Survivor Series is coming up. It's a month and a half away. They have all these guys in the cruiserweight division, and you're probably not going to have multiple cruiserweight matches on a Survivor Series show that also features SmackDown talent. Would it be a cool idea to see a cruiserweight Survivor Series match, a 5-on-5 cruiserweight elimination match?
I'd bank on it. I would absolutely bank on it. I'd put money on that in Vegas if we're on the board.
Maybe even a match to determine a title challenger in some way, or maybe you have the champions team of TJ Perkins being a leader versus whoever TJ Perkins' biggest challenger is. Maybe you don't even have a cruiserweight championship on the show. I can see people complaining if there's no cruiserweight title match on Survivor Series on a big four show, but I think you're fine doing a cruiserweight little highlight of the division match. 5-on-5, TJ Perkins involved, cruiserweights versus cruiserweights, because you know there's going to be 13 matches on this show, Raw and SmackDown. You got to find room for everybody, and this is a good way to find room for the Rich Swans and the Cedric Alexanders and Brian Kendrick all in one match. Grand Metalik, who should be in by that time. This is a big time way to highlight that division, so I hope that we do see it.
Is it possible on that one of those team captains might be a very special one-off appearance by one Kota Ibushi?
Maybe bring in Kota Ibushi. You have Johnny mm-hmm. Gargano up. You have Tommaso Ciampa up. There's a number of different ways you can go. What I'm worried about, though, and I hope this does not happen, is that if they do a cruiserweight elimination match on Survivor Series, we don't keep hearing people complain about how there's no cruiserweight title match, because I think it'll really be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll see a cruiserweight title match. We don't know. It's a month and a half away. Do you think they know? Probably not. I mean, they got No Mercy coming up on the 9th. You think they know what the card's fully going to be for that yet?
Yeah, I do.
All right, maybe the card, but do they know what they're going to do with the results? I don't know.
No.
We'll wait and see. Is Curt Hawkins going to wrestle on No Mercy? That's what I want to know.
That might be his announcement.
Could be the big announcement. I'm coming. God, I hope he wrestles Baron Corbin or Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, by the way, WWE main event this week, Baron Corbin versus Kane. It happened. It finally happened.
This is the blow off to the teased feud.
Yes.
Was there a winner?
I don't know. I don't want to spoil it for everyone out there, because I don't believe main event airs in the UK till Fridays. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I know it's on Hulu later tonight here on Wednesday as we record this. But yeah, I was texted from a visitor to SmackDown yesterday that Baron Corbin and Kane was actually happening, because they know my huge fandom of both Baron Corbin and Kane. So they had to give me the top secret scoops. And I thank them for doing so. Jeff, you watched the wrong match. How do you feel?
Stop and I'll watch it now and we'll do it if you want.
I don't want to. It's completely okay. My idea coming into this show was let Jeff talk about Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat from Wrestle War 1989. And I would talk about how cool it was to see Ricky Steamboat come back. Because obviously, you know, I've said it on the show many times, I didn't start watching wrestling till 1997. And as I started watching wrestling, I would go back and rent videotapes of late 80s and early 90s WWF pay-per-views from Blockbuster, because they would have, like, you know, WrestleMania of 1991. And they would have Survivor Series and all these videotapes. And that's how I kind of knew who the older guys were before the age of the internet and when the internet really took off. And, you know, time goes on, especially now with the WWE Network, I can watch a lot of the old stuff. And I've been watching the old stuff, you know, since 2000 and beyond. But at the time, Ricky Steamboat to me was nobody. I didn't really know who Ricky Steamboat was until about 2003, 2004, when he started appearing for Ring of Honor. I hadn't watched that much Ricky Steamboat. I knew of the Randy Savage Ricky Steamboat match. I knew of the big ones, but I didn't know the true history of Ricky Steamboat. And what I wanted to do this week, as well as in a future week, because number 11 on our top 100 countdown is Ricky Steamboat Ric Flair from the Chi-Town Rumble. Right now we're on match number 17. It is the top 100 matches to see before you die, available on WWE Network. This was a WWE populated list that we have been running down for the last year and a half. Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair from Wrestle War 1989, the second match from Wrestle War 1989 that we're discussing on this very show. But what I thought would be a cool idea is when we get to match number 11, we discuss the similarities and differences between these two matches. Because as you know, Jeff, the longer matches back in the 80s and so, because you didn't have the proliferation of wrestling on TV and you were doing a lot of these longer matches on house shows, they could go and do an hour of a slow-paced match that was the same every time. It could be like the same hour-long match every single time they do it. But now you have these big two matches that are both on pay-per-view, Wrestle War as well as the Chi-Town Rumble, going back to see how they differentiated each match, maybe what was the same in each match, what was the story in each match. I think that would be a cool thing to go back and forth on. But we want to do that when we get to the Chi-Town Rumble match, because right now we've only watched, for our purposes here, the one match. Now, of course, it could be cool in this instance, because you watched one of them and I watched the other one. You watched match number 11, the Chi-Town Rumble match. I watched the Wrestle War 1989 match, but not trying to pass off and make it easy on us. I think for our show, the best thing for us to do is when match number 11 comes along is we talk about both of these matches together. The similarities, the differences, how each match was promoted, the result of each match, where each guy went from there, and how they tied in together. I think that's what I want to do with match number 17 and match number 11. What do you think?
I'm fine with that. I think Wrestle War is actually the second match, though, of the trifecta. I think Chi-Town Rumble is the first.
I know,
which makes it difficult to give background.
Exactly, but it makes it difficult to give background. And you know, for us talking match number two, and then later on trying to talk match number one, because a lot of what we would reference on match number two came from match number one that we're not going to talk about for 2 months.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to do match number 17 and match number 11 together. This has nothing to do with Jeff watching the wrong match. It just so happened that he did, which is fine. I've watched the wrong match before. There was one match where I watched the wrong one.
Yeah, it was the same competitors too. Yeah. And you just watched the wrong one.
Maybe it was, I don't know, Bret Hart and somebody, I think. I feel like it was a Bret Hart match, but I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, we will watch both matches together when match number 11 comes along. Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair, WrestleWar 1989.
An extended look at both matches, I think, probably, because just comparing and contrasting will have a lot to go on. Because just even looking at who your crew was for your your match, you had Ross and Cottle for WrestleWar 89, correct?
Yeah.
This is Jim Ross and Magnum TA.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Not looking forward to the old TA on commentary. Well,
and plus it sounds like they're sharing a microphone the whole time. So TA's audio is down, but the match I watched, you know, was fantastic. And just as a teaser for that week, when you watch it, you start at the time point I gave you, but front row hard camera. Brad Muster, the running back for the Chicago Bears, who was drafted that year, but flanking him, a very young Dave Meltzer and a very young Dr. Lucha Steve Sims, which will be interesting, but we'll get to that. Not to blue ball you too much, because I apologize for now. I'm mad at myself right now. You don't know.
It gives you, the listener, some insight into our show prep, is where we didn't discuss if Jeff watched the right match or not until Jeff was doing his intro on this very podcast.
Well, you've lied to me about watching the match before, I think. You said I didn't watch it after the show, and I just went, oh, you suck.
That is not true. I have never faked my way through one of these.
I think you fake your way through half the Raws we talk about, but that's ever. Just me. What is our correct match next week?
I watched all of Raw this week. I watch all the shows. It's been difficult in the middle.
I hate Raw.
It was not the best. I did not enjoy the finish. I will tell you though, Big Cass and Enzo, the promo battle with Chris Jericho. This is why I am the market for WWE. I'm not trying to be a WWE shill. I enjoy aspects of TNA. I really love New Japan. I follow New Japan. It's not part of our show. I like wrestling of all around, but sometimes WWE will just get me. And that Enzo and Cass go back and forth with Chris Jericho got me. Yeah, I was laughing. Yeah, I was trying to hide the laughter as the girlfriend was sitting next to me. Loved it. And then they had to wrestle. And then Enzo had to wrestle the entire match.
Oh, my favorite part about that is Kevin Owens saying he still belongs in NXT. Yep. I thought that was
yelling
great.
Right in his face. Yelling to the ref like the ref was going to do something about it. He's yelling at the ref like, count him out. He belongs in NXT. As if the ref is going to be like, you know what? You're right. I should just count him out.
That, and I don't know if you caught, but when Jericho hands
the scarf,
Owens the scarf and Owens just throws it behind his head.
I was hoping he would do that, because part of me was looking at the Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho dynamic and thinking that Kevin Owens is being told to, yes, be super campy with Chris Jericho, act like you really are his best friend, do everything he does. But no, that was one of the moments where you realize Kevin Owens will be himself. Kevin Owens knows that Chris Jericho is a goofball, that he's being overly campy, and he's still his friend, but he's not going to go along with every campy thing Chris Jericho does. And the scarf is one of them. He's going to gladly take the scarf right to Chris Jericho's face, act like he's his best friend. Chris Jericho turns around. Kevin Owens throws the scarf away because, yeah, it's a freaking scarf. What are you handing me this for? I love it. I love those two together. I don't...
What is our match next week? I'll get it.
Our top 100 match next week is Bret Hart versus Owen Hart from WrestleMania 10.
Great. Love that match. Looking forward to it. I will watch the correct match.
This is also our second match from WrestleMania 10, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Ramon and...
We had Ramon and HBK in the ladder match not too long ago. That, like, only a few matches ago we had that one. So we're getting...
You're getting nothing but great matches from here on out.
Yeah, we're in the top 11. We're in the top 17 at this point. So we're in the top 17. It's all great matches from here on out. I don't believe there's another Goldberg match on the list, which is sad.